How's it going?
Hey, Tara.
Anyone have any fun non-Amazon related news? That's fine.
Are you talking about the problems with web services?
Yeah.
What
Big
has
news around
happened?
here.
What has happened?
There was a big outage overnight that affected a lot of people.
Okay.
Lots of stuff in the news. Interestingly, my Mac upgrading to Tahoe has broken everything on it. So, see if I can get this to work. Maybe. There we go. All right. Cool. Should we go ahead and get started? Okay. All right. So, I. Vivian's here. Oh, and it's also here. Also important. I was surprised because Vivian said it would not be here.
Oh, and my continued participation is very much a maybe.
Got it. Okay. First thing before I forget, could someone do me a favor and just write down who's actually here? Since this is. Yeah, amazing. Thank you. Cool. All right. So, first announcements. I don't have anything in particular coming up. Does anyone have anything that you'd like to talk about in the coming weeks? I will mention that next Monday I'm going to go to the reporting SIG. They're going to follow up on sort of the reporting conversation that we had here. So anyone else is interested, I'm kind of looking forward to that. Anyone else have any topics that you want to throw on the agenda?
Tara, this is
Yes.
Heather. I just wanted to let y'all know that Suzanne Gill, or I don't know if it's Susan or Suzanne Gill, has agreed to step in as a convener for the ACSIG in 2026. So just so y'all know, we'll be working with her over the next couple of months on how things go. And I'm sure y'all will start seeing her in these meetings as well.
That's very exciting. Congratulations to Suzanne or Susanna. Any other announcements? Okay, any other sort of quests for upcoming stuff? Because otherwise, it's going to be search standards till the break of dawn. Okay, we'll just keep doing that. So for today, the main thing that we're going to do is whatever this is, take a look at the slides that Owen put together about what it could look like to have search behavior pop up kind of where the keyboard shortcuts are. I was shocked at how much I liked this. I was like, oh, this is the best idea ever, and we should just do this, forget all the other ideas. Owen, did you have any other sort of thoughts on this, or did you want to show us these slides? You're muted.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's not a huge amount to say, but if you want to, I mean, so I'm just following the pattern of the keyboard shortcuts. So there's a top left menu. As I note, not all the apps have this menu at the moment. But around 20 do. So it's present in the drop down, that is. It's present in a pretty large number of apps. In terms of then what actually displays, again, I've copied the shortcut menu kind of layout. So it's just a table or an MCL. And The list, I think that we'd want to agree what the standard list of things we wanted to have in this table would be. I kind of went back and forth on a few different things here about the kind of granularity of this. Potentially you could lay this out differently. I had, some, I think initially I kind of had some idea that I would have like a line about Boolean searching or a line about what the default was, and I kind of folded that into the support description in the end. So I think there'd be some detail to go through there. And I think part of the challenge is keeping this like in a way that could be equally well implemented by all apps in a way that was not too much information, but yet was enough for the users to be able to know how search worked. And yeah, I mean, that was it. I think if what we are aiming for is more accessible documentation on how search works in each app, and I think that's one of the things that we're aiming for, at least, because we, I think, agree that both for reasons of sometimes desirability, different apps want, there's a desire for them to function in slightly different ways. And in terms of practical implementation, changing things will take longer than perhaps would be ideal. Then this is a good, this would be a relatively quick step towards making, getting the documentation in there and making the responsibility of the development teams to ensure this was kept up to date, in line with any changes they make to search behavior as we go forward through releases. I don't think it should stop us pushing for, pushing people towards better behavior or more consistent behavior where it's not kind of counter to the desires of the users, of that those particular apps. But I think that, so I'm not suggesting this replaces any work that might happen on that front, but I think it would be a relatively good step. And as I note in this slide here, I would want us to work with the to talk to the Stripes team about getting this as a Stripes component so it can be used consistently, and it's just there as something that can be implemented by teams as they're, as we persuade them that this is a good thing to do. And I think that in most cases that would be seen as a relatively straightforward thing, as long as we're not kind of saying, there has to be endless documentation here. I think that that's it's getting that balance right, which is probably the key thing to making this relatively straightforward to do. But yeah, we need to talk to the Stripes team as well to get them on board of having a component for this. I think that's all I've got to say.
Amazing. Martin, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. And on slide two, in the screenshot, you have an extra double drop-down arrow or something like this. I don't know how to explain it on
I
slide
think,
two. Is it
yeah,
only for
I
displaying
don't.
where it should go, or
Yeah, I don't
because
know.
you mentioned that 20 apps have these drop-down menus, and it's not that they have this double arrow, but just the one on the
Just a
right-hand
single
side of
arrow.
them.
Yes, I'm not sure where that double arrow came from. I
Oh, okay. Yeah.
it's not deliberate on my part.
Yeah, so I was unsure about whether you meant to, to introduce another button on the
No,
left-hand side or
it's the
okay.
existing. arrow. So it's the, yeah, I don't know how that's happened, but it's the one to the right of agreements is the, yeah, that one. Yeah, that's the correct display on this screen, without the double arrow. I don't know how that got in there.
Okay, fine.
Other thoughts?
I'm with you, Tara. I love it. My only suggestion, and it's something I would really like to see for the keyboard shortcuts too, is that it'd be great if we could find a way that the user could open the tip box and leave it open while working.
Oh, and like drag it around or something like that.
Yeah, because when you have this open, you can't actually search. And so I often in the past, I will admit I'm not doing that much in Folio these days, but when I was doing more, I would look at this and then I'd close it and then I would already forget the three different things I had looked up. So I ended up taking a screenshot of it, but then I would forget to open my screenshot.
There any sort of floating modals anywhere in Folio? Like that you can move around like that? I don't think there are.
If there are any, I haven't seen them. And for the most part, it makes sense. Usually the modal is coming up because you're going to do something, but in this case, the modal's coming up just for information. But even if we couldn't do that, I think the in-app approach is really helpful. It would In places where there are unnecessary inconsistencies, it would help highlight them. And but it also accommodates the places where there are consistencies for good reason. I'm sorry, inconsistencies for good reason. That as Maura has pointed out, the default ways we want to search users are different from the default ways we want to search bibliographic data, and that's okay.
I'm just looking at the ever cascading number of little side drawer things that come here. Awesome. Where did my thing go? There we go. Other thoughts? Martin.
Yeah, I just realized that we have this question mark icon beneath the user account on the right-hand side. And I just checked, it just goes to the documentation page. Actually, I would maybe if I was new to Folio, I would expect the keyboard shortcuts and maybe also the search documentation there, I think. Because, I mean, it's the question mark. It's about getting help.
That is definitely true. I don't know how many people really use the question mark.
Could you show us where I'm probably.
This question
Oh,
mark
my good. Okay, I didn't
takes
even
you.
realize that was there. Wow.
Usually,
Yeah, I bet
I like
you just
clean it.
overlook it because you're used to Folio and
Yep.
you're not using it actively, I guess.
So I mean I'm in no sense like that just takes us back to the previous discussion though, right? That like if we do it that way, which is perfectly possible, we could instead take this, table or a variation of this table and suggest to documentation team that they add this into their documentation. We're passing the problem to a team who don't influence the behavior, and we're taking it at, further away from the user, like working inside Folio. So the we did discuss putting it in the doc into this wiki, right? That would be possible. There's no reason not to. there's no barrier to us saying to the documentation team, we think this should be added. Oh, and I see that you have got like, and it could be in both. I mean, there's de definitely nothing to stop it being in both. But if we focus on getting it into the app, then the documentation team are always following the app. They're never ahead of the game. So they can take data from inside the app and add it to their documentation, but that can never flow in the other direction, because the documentation is only, well, doesn't influence the behavior, and also is always catching up with the latest functionality. Not it's always behind, essentially, the functionality. So if we were to update the behavior of search in agreements tomorrow, then with this integrated documentation, it would be on us to make sure that got updated. And then the documentation group could take that new information and embed it and add it to their wiki or the documentation pages. Whereas obviously if it's the other way around, they just have to then find out about it somehow, go and read the various Jira tickets that were responsible and work out what's changed, which seems like a harder job. So yeah, no reason it shouldn't be in the documentation as well, but I th think this is about where is the best place for it to kind of primarily live.
Yeah, and I really like that. I really like having the information flow from, like, your table here to the documentation for the reasons that you said. And maybe that does solve Laura's problem of being able to have it open if you want it. It's like, the keyboard shortcuts are here as well if you need those. Vivian.
I was going to say, I want to echo that while I definitely would like to see this in the documentation as well as in the app, I do feel like what Owen said as far, or I think Owen said as far as the workflow for the documentation group. I was briefly part of the documentation group for a little bit, and it's if this is in the app and it's presented as here's a new feature in the app, then the documentation folk will find out about it that way and will include it in the documentation. So I really, while I would love to see it in the docs as well, I really do feel like the place where it should live is in the app. Also, just as an FYI, maybe it's because I'm a newer user of Folio, but I use the question mark all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's the first place, the official documentation is the first place I go when I don't know something. And then sometimes I find what I want there, and sometimes I don't, because of course the documentation assumes the happy path, and it doesn't necessarily include the unhappy path. And so if my situation is an unhappy path situation, then I will, generally find it on the wiki or by posting to a Slack channel or what have you. But I always go to the docs first.
I think we all go to the docs. We don't all click on the
Oh
question mark because
yeah,
we've
use
all
the
got
question
it
mark. That's how I get there.
bookmarked in a thousand places and also burned into our foreheads. Laura, go ahead.
I have to say this, even though it's really kind of irrelevant, that I realized I never noticed the question mark because it wasn't there when I first started using Folio. The docs didn't exist when we migrated to Folio. And so whenever it appeared, I didn't pay attention because like so many of the rest of us, I type docs.f and then my browser knows where I'm trying to go. But I also have to say, I usually think, and I think it also speaks to when I started using Folio, I usually start with the wiki. If I'm working in an app I'm unfamiliar with, if I'm looking at that, then I'll go to Docs. Otherwise, I start with the wiki.
I would love to do like a whole paper on like the information seeking behavior of Folio users, because like it's so weird and specific, and you have to be such an expert in library skills, weirdly enough. However, we veered a little bit off course. Could we maybe? Maybe a good way to think about this is, because we're all in love with this because it's right in front of us and also it's awesome, Here were the options that we talked about last time, just to remind us of like some of the things we could have done. Putting it in the docs, creating a document, creating a website, literally putting it in Folio is kind of where we ended up. Can anyone come up with something like that would be bad about putting it in this place, assuming we got buy-in from all the other stakeholders? Hold now for just one negative.
If we had to have a negative, we could say that it's just one more little tiny thing that people have to pay attention to. But since we are adding so many little tiny icons that we need to pay attention to, we might as well add useful ones.
That's fair. I think my number one negative is that going down this path this isn't something that we can directly have implemented. It's up to the apps, so there will be more time involved in like the uptake rather than a doc, which we could make today and just make available tomorrow. That's another possible downside. Does this accomplish sort of the goals that we set out here?
I guess a possible potential downside is that we are limited to how much information we can reasonably put in the pop-up. For issues of space, I mean, not everyone is using a giant computer screen, not everyone is maximizing the size of Folio. And so, if we, I don't. I'm not a UX expert, but I'm guessing that we probably don't want something that a user ends up having to scroll much to find what they're looking for. So we are potentially limited by how much information we can put in this, as opposed to a document where we can put all the information in a document.
Yeah, I mean that is definitely, well, in a literal sense, you're not limited, but as you point out, Vivian, the issue of like having a very long scrolling page here, if I put any more information in than I have put here, it would not have fitted into this screenshot. As you can see, it's essentially the bottom of that display. Now, obviously, exactly how much displays depends on a lot of things about your screen setup. But this felt like a reasonable amount of information. Maybe in some cases it was, I felt, could I have done it any briefer? But it's quite difficult. I think. I do think that while like the argument about putting it in the documentation, we can take as much room as we want. It's sort of true, but it suffers from the same problem, actually. Ultimately, the amount of work that somebody's willing to do to find out, exactly how phrase work for searching works in an application is going to be limited. So as soon as that becomes too difficult to find or comprehend easily, then we hit this a similar problem. It might be slightly better, but I think it would be, yeah, just because we have more room somewhere else doesn't actually mean that people will use that information if we include it. And I could have done something longer here. It would just have meant more and more scrolling, which I completely agree is probably the kiss of death. Anything that's not on immediately viewable on this page, the user is probably not going to look, go see, basically. And that I think is why agreeing like something sensible for this layout, like what are the things that we, the behaviors we actually really care about communicating as a top level, to the user. I think, for instance, I've got stop words in here. I don't know if any of the apps implement stop words, in which case that may be not a useful thing, but I wasn't sure. Maybe some of the searches have stop words. I think the other thing that I did wonder about is this sort of assumes there's a single search behavior for the app. And I guess if that's not the case, this could be a problem. I'm not sure how we deal with those cases, but if the app has different search behaviors depending on which search you're looking at in the app, then obviously having it in this single screen is, you could have multi-column maybe for different search boxes, but again, the space limitation is, I think, both a blessing and a curse here, because I think it forces you to think really hard about how you use that space effectively. But I think that there are situations where I can imagine there might be issues, but I think that getting the right list of things here is really important because of that.
Well, I was asked to come up with reasons why this, might not be the best idea, so I did. But I will say, and I will say, if it becomes too complex or too wordy, or you have to scroll or what have you, the more difficult it is to find the information that the user is looking for, it means the less likely the user is going to use it. However, I still do feel like if we can do it this way, this would be the best way to do it, because this is literally taking the information to where the user is. And, if I have a choice of clicking something in app, which is going to inform me of what I want to know, and having to go click on the question mark, which is really two jumps, because you click on the question mark and then you have to click on the doc server and then you have to find what it is that you're looking for. If I can get that by just clicking on, search behavior link and have it pop up in app, that's what I'm going to do. And I imagine that's what most users are going to do. So I don't want like my solicited, hey, maybe there's a downside to this, to at all color my enthusiasm for this development.
I did ask specifically for negative takes, and I am still looking for, negative takes because I think it's pretty easy to find the positives here. This is pretty awesome. I will say that the situation in which different searches have different behavior does exist in Folio, like within the same app. And I don't know how you would like how you like more columns doesn't seem to be that good, but there are definitely like cases where one search but not another has wildcards, for example. So that could get kind of wordy. Another question I have is sort of like, what do we do? Like, so assuming that you're right and there are no stop words in Folio, is it worth including here if it's true across all of Folio, right? Or is that just like an assumption? There's an argument to be made that like this then becomes like the contract that we sort of have. Like, if someone then says, like, oh, well, we're doing it not case sensitive, for example, it's like, well, here in the little box, it says it's case insensitive. So you should probably make it case insensitive, right? Like, I really like how like it becomes like a circle where we don't have to constantly monitor or do anything. That's a big benefit for me. I would also point out that while we heard a lot of frustration with the lack of documentation on this, the ultimate and actual goal is to have all of the searches function the same. So, like, does this in any way distract from that if we can just sort of write a sentence and get rid of the problem? It's another potential downside. But I'm really scraping the barrel here. So if anyone has any like other bad takes, we'll give it another 2 seconds. No, all right. Well, this is kind of a winner, Owen. Sorry. Okay. So since we seem to be generally on the same page that this would be awesome, what would actually be required to make this happen? I've heard reach out to the Stripes team. I'm going to guess that we need to make sure that people outside of the eight people in this call think this is an awesome idea. What's the first thing that needs to happen?
We need to take it to the POs.
Okay.
Since this is effectively, we'd be asking each of the many of them to do a small amount of additional work. I don't think it's a huge amount of work, but it is something we would be asking of POs, right?
That sounds reasonable. Does it make sense to find out if other people who use Folio think this is a good idea before asking the POs or after?
They're all going to agree with us. No, I think probably taking it to SIGs for feedback would be better done first. So we know exactly. So not only do we know exactly what we are taking to the POs, but we also are able to say, hey, it's not just eight people, it's the community wants this.
And many of the POs attend the SIGs. So we'd be, or some of the TOs attend the SIGs. The SIGs that I'm in, POs attend. So it wouldn't be just soliciting opinions from the people. It would also be soliciting opinions from the POs. Some of them. You look so skeptical, Tara.
Well, no, I would like the shortest path. And so the more people we ask, the more complicated this gets. So I feel like, oh, hold on, sorry.
Well, I was so I've put into the chat what I think I'd see as like the three actions we need to take. I think presenting to the SIGs is this. I would go straight to the POs. I don't think, like, because if they say, "Great, we love it, but we think our SIGs ought to give feedback first," we take it to the SIGs. If the POs say, "Great, we love it. We can't see any reason not to do this. Let's just go ahead." Then we do it. I think if we take this to the SIGs, be prepared for every single nuance of language and list of things that we have suggested ought to be in the documentation, be questioned, torn apart, thrown back at us, as you know. Because we will not be able to please all the SIGs with this. I mean, just, you know, it's if you from a PO perspective, honestly, I would just get this done if you said to me, this is a really great step that we could take. And I think it is. Like, I even found out something about the way that search works in my own apps by just doing this exercise. So, like, this is good as far as I'm concerned. If then, once I've got it up, the SIGs want to look at it and review it and debate it and say, well, we didn't really understand that, you know, sentence there, you could improve it, then, like, then I'm working from something that's already up there rather than, you know, coming back to this in 6 months when we've all agreed the perfect wording of like some, you know, some aspect of it. And it's, yeah, I mean, I don't want to that to come across. Well, I think it's the mechanism, not the people, right? It's not, this is not, as Laura says in the chat, yes, we, you know, getting feedback from the SMEs is important. And I don't want to say it's not. And if the POs, if the POs actually felt I'd be more confident if this went to the SIGs first, then sure. But it's the POs we probably need to get on board with this to get it actually happening, even if then we debate the ins and outs of it. That's my view.
I'm mostly on Team Owen on this one. I also think that there's maybe a less likely to end with this getting ripped into little shreds path, where we like ask for feedback within our group and like ask people to identify like I go to these things or something like that, so that we're actually just like bringing the feedback to us rather than taking it on this tour of doom, which will end very badly for us. I saw Lauren and then Vivian. Laura, sorry.
I'm wondering if we could find a way to take it to the SIGs as a concept without even showing the language, because I was laughing out loud when Owen started talking because it's so true. And at the same time, there have been some developments made that sort of came as surprises to some of us in the community. And so I think that there is some skepticism with some of us about things just being decided on, even if they're good things. And so I would really like there to be a way for us to get buy-in from the SIGs without slowing this down. That may not be possible because we are all such opinionated people, but I still would really like the idea of presenting the concept
So, Vivian, I'll let you go
to
in a
see.
second. But so counterpoint, we all have a lot of context and history for this conversation. We've been having this conversation for at least 1 year with me and several years before that. So, like, our understanding of what's being presented here is different than a lot of people's. I'm sure that Owen could sell other people on this just as well as he has sold us. However, like, nothing's going to make up for that year of context. If the idea of the SIG is that we have representatives from all of the sort of stakeholders all over Folio, then sort of the fact that we have people in the SIG who have been involved in this conversation, is that not sort of disseminating this information? And if you want to bring it up in, for example, the acquisition SIG, like, hey, there's this cool thing that we've been talking about, that feels a little bit different and like that might be sufficient rather than showing it. And then it's like, I don't like the name support available, therefore the entire thing has to be axed. Like, maybe, because I hear what you're saying. Like, we don't want to like be doing things. I understand the lack of trust about certain things, but we can't be like paralyzed because we're worried that like making a decision makes us the bad guy, right? Vivian, go ahead.
We're not the bad guy if we make the right decision.
You can't make the right decision. Let's just own that right now.
I mean, I kind of echo everything that Laura said, but at the same time, I think Tara, you raised a really good point about, that this SIG in and of itself is defines the fact that we've got, all the various apps represented here, at least in theory. The folks who attend the SIGs, the various SIGs, are all here, at least in theory. And that we can, this group can make this decision without the buy-in of all the SIGs. But I do agree about, I mean, I would agree about bringing this to the SIGs. If we're going to bring it to the SIGs, then we bring it to the SIGs as a concept, and we very explicitly say, this language is a draft. We are not talking about the wording at this point. So, I get if you don't like this particular phrase, but this is not any, we're not at the point where we're doing the editing. This is just a mock-up. I mean, honestly, if we could somehow do it in one of those fonts where, like, it looks like it's actual text, but it's just nonsense, not wingdings, but like looks like it's blurred out, then who's going to object? I mean, wingdings would be really funny. Laura, I can see you on camera. Wingdings would be really hilarious. But no, I mean, like, this would be like one of those things where it looks like it's looks like it's words, but it's just kind of blurred out, whatever.
I mean,
Lauren.
honestly, if we can get the Stripes team to do the component, I will get this implemented in my apps before, like, anybody's had a chance to question it. And I just think, like, yeah, I just I'm struggling to know how consulting the SIGs before we do anything else on this is just asking to be sitting here in 6 months' time with the same situation. On really honestly, just getting it in front of the SIGs, like to think we've asked everybody to feed for feedback and got that feedback. Like it will not be on every SIGs agenda in their next meeting. It will not be on the next every SIGs agenda in the next five meetings. You know, I just struggle to see the benefit. The benefits will outweigh the cost. I just like the cost, I think, here is not having it in the next release versus having it in the next release or having some of these in the next release. And if we could get a Stripes component out, I mean, I think we do have to get feedback from the Stripes team about whether that's the right way to do it and how quickly they can do it. But if we could get a Stripes component out before the end of the year, I could have this in the Trillium release. Whereas if we do any more discussion, I can't. So, you know, it's because it's never, it's like never going to be. And the things that they have, that people have not been consulted on, the number of things that are so much more important than this, like this is just a tiny, good, nice thing that we can do.
And have we not agonized over this sufficiently in this group to say that, like, I mean, sorry, Kristen, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think maybe there's a component of this that's really just a technical component that we want to go ahead and move forward with. What I might suggest, and I don't think we have to do this, like we have to consult with every group over and over again. We've held multiple sessions at WolfCon. We've gotten feedback. We can make a decision to go ahead with a way forward. We could, once we know that we can technically do this, we could just ask the documentation group to look at this so that they can put it in their documentation that, like, oh, you can find more information about search behavior in this modal or whatever. And then it can, you know, so then we've kind of, the documentation group can be the only group that really needs to have any oversight about the modal. And that might be because it is documentation. It's not really a functionality. We're not changing what these things are doing. We're simply describing them.
At this stage, that's definitely true. And I mean, like, the decision paralysis is like, well, these are not like irreversible steps either. And we also don't know that they're going to move forward. So I feel pretty confident that we can follow through on the things that Owen identified way up in our chat before this started. If we're mostly comfortable about that. And I will actually post notes this time so that it's not like this happened behind closed doors. Does that seem fair? Are we all comfortable with that? Okay, great. I'm seeing nods, and the black screens are just going to be nods in my head. Okay. All right. So one of the things that will be necessary for this, though, is we will actually have to, like, kind of have a sense of like how these things, like which things should be in here. And so one of the things that I did was I tried to get a sense of like where case sensitivity specifically is still a problem to that question of like, well, if it's the same in every app, do we need to actually include it? And like when I started going through fields, I was having a really hard time finding any that are still case sensitive. So I don't know, do we want to have like an example of like one of these features that it's like, here's how this would look and here's how the exceptions would look, or is that like too far for this stage? Kristen, go ahead.
So I think it's good to keep what goes in the modal to be very specific where search behavior is unique to that app. Otherwise, it should just be in the docs.folio.org, right? I mean, then you just have a statement that says like searches are not case sensitive, and that's that. If people think searches are case sensitive and they're not, I mean, they'll probably figure that out pretty quickly, you know? But it's not like they have to remember anything like, oh, when I go in users, it's case sensitive, but when I'm searching in agreements, it's not case sensitive. And so I'm going to look at this to remind myself.
Well, I definitely get the impression that that was the case, and I remember that being the case. Like, I feel like earlier this year, even, that there were still case-sensitive barcode searches. Whoops, that is the wrong Jira. Nobody look at that. It's recorded. This is the problem with keyboard shortcuts.
I'm
Right? Because
surprised that
like.
some of them, yeah, I'm surprised that some of them aren't case sensitive because I would have thought that it was a requirement in some cases.
That they be case sensitive,
Yeah,
like for
to avoid,
identifiers.
yeah, exactly.
But what I was finding was that like even things like UUIDs, those were coming up as not case sensitive across these apps, which was a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I only managed to find one, and it was in the InReach app, which isn't in like most of these environments. So if anyone knows of one that still exists, because I just feel like it would be good to be able to show like. This is what an exception might look like, in general.
I'm
Okay.
confident that all inventory searches are not case sensitive.
Every single one.
Yes. You know what? I'm
And
not confident about barcodes. But
no, they're
other
not.
than that,
Check.
just because I haven't tried it, but I do know even the non-normalized call number, which is very, very specific, like you have to type everything perfectly, including spacing and punctuation. Even that is case insensitive.
It'd be really cool if we could just like low key close this out. Just like we don't know how it happened, but whatever, it's not true anymore.
That said, Tara, and I know I said, maybe there are some that we can avoid. With the shortcut keys, I'm aware that we were asked to include Control C, Control V, and Control X. No, not Control X. Maybe just Control C and Control V as shortcut keys, even though those are not folios. They always work because they're not folio specific. They're absolutely standard keyboard shortcuts everywhere. But people still wanted to know that they worked, I guess. So I guess there might be an argument that there are some things where people just want that reassurance. I mean, coming back to Kristen's point, I think that actually some people do want to know that, and especially perhaps if it hasn't been consistent, even if it is consistent now, people still worry, oh, am I actually searching everything when I search in capital letters or lowercase or whatever? Is that working? So I think being told that that is the case might be valuable, even if it's the same across all apps. I think there's an argument for it anyway. Not sure I feel strongly about it.
There's also just sort of like general search questions that like people would expect to see in a list like this, even if they haven't really been problems for Folio too. So it sounds like we don't actually need to know which areas are problems. So like we don't need to go through and test every single field in order to agree about the list of behaviors that we want to document. That's what I'm hearing. Is that fair? Okay. Effective call number is case sensitive. That's interesting. Okay.
Effective call number.
I don't think I
Yeah,
tried that one.
I mean, Taro already said that it's maybe it's since ransoms that it's case insensitive barcode, and maybe it's the same with effective call number. But in my system, which is Quesnelia, they are all case sensitive.
Where can we search effective call number? Is that item search? I've never.
Yeah, effective
Oh, I
call
see.
number.
Okay. Yep.
I don't have the English name.
It is
The
in the item.
human readable and normalized, I think they are called, maybe. Yeah. So that's case sensitive for me.
I'll check it in Sunflower Bug Fest right now.
Effective call number. I'm sorry. Were we looking to find out whether it exists, where it exists, or where it's case sensitive?
If it's case sensitive.
Okay. Then I'm not quite there.
I am curious, but I think that we can list which things should be in the left column here. That's what we're talking about, without knowing everything that's going to be in the right column. Well, okay, if we're on this case sensitivity stuff, did y'all know that like different languages have case sensitivity that works different ways? I was very surprised by that. And then I started wondering, like, if you write something in like one Japanese script, does it bring up like the other one because they have hiragana and katakana? So we could turn this particular conversation into a nightmare that will last 3 hours, like the wild cards conversation. But today we're trying to figure out what we need to do in order to potentially get this in a release that will help people before maybe next WolfCon. That would be so awesome if we could show that. So we need to make a list of the behaviors that we want to document. It seems like that would be a great thing to come back to next time we meet, which will be next Wednesday. Do we think that we could maybe brainstorm that a little bit on Slack so that people who don't have time for this meeting could come and hang out and help us? Okay. All right. Is there anything else that we need to accomplish today in order to move this forward? Seems like we're good. And if that is the case, I will say thank you, Owen, for your very inspiring pictures that have moved this ahead leaps and bounds with how much people liked them. Amazing. Okay, so you will hear from me on Slack, and we will meet again in a week and a half. Have a great rest of your Monday, and I'll see you all later.
Thanks all.
Bye.